Good morning, Catalyst. God bless you. Tommy, would you come up and just pray for the message? I just felt led to have you do that this morning. So would you pray that God would just bless the word and open our ears and our eyes and our heart?
Heavenly Father, we glorify your name this morning, Lord. We thank you for being here, O God. Thank you for your presence here in your sanctuary, O God. Lord, I pray for the word today, Lord. Let it minister to all of us, O God. Let us not leave the same way we came, O God, but fully empowered, Lord. Lord, those who are sick, may they receive healing, O God. Those who are captives, Lord, may they receive freedom, O Lord. Let the freedom of the Spirit be here today, O God. Anoint our pastor, O God, as she preaches your word, O God. Lord, like you did to Jeremiah, O God, put your words in her mouth, O God. Lord, to uproot and destroy, God, to build, Lord, and to plant, oh God. We thank you, God. We thank you for the work that is being established here at Catalyst. Father, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. How many of you come from the New York area? How many of you? All right. So you're going to relate to what I'm just going to tell you now. So we were originally from Long Island. But then, last time up there, we lived in Staten Island, right? So we all know that's just a little speck at the end of New York City, a little island. You can't go anywhere without a bridge or a ferry, right? So sometimes we would have to go somewhere, and many times on Long Island, and we would put the GPS on. And every time I would see the Belt Parkway, even saying it now, my heart starts to flutter. Do you know what I mean? And I know all the roads are congested, all the traffic is there, but there was something about the Belt Parkway. By the way, they're fixing it now. But there was something about the Belt Parkway. There were no shoulders on the sides of the road, so that if you tried to pull off, if there was an accident, one day I had a little fender bender. And, oh my goodness. I tell you, it wasn't even rush hour, but I backed up the traffic for so long. I'm sure people must have been cursing under their breath and just getting very angry, because as soon as a little fender bender would happen, or the traffic was slow, or they pull up that drawbridge, you were stuck. Nowhere to go. Nothing to do but pray, hopefully, and not have a breakdown. And then I started to realize that if I wanted to get where I had to go, I had to go down to some, go through some unpleasant roads. I had to travel some paths I really, really didn't like, but it would take me to my destination. It wasn't my destination. Now get that. It wasn't my destination, Gloria, but I couldn't get to my destination without going through that road. So as my husband and I, we tease each other, you big sissy, Angela, don't be such a sissy. Just understand you're going someplace, right? And that has stuck in my mind as I started to read. I'm not going to read all of the scriptures right now in John 5, verses 1 to 9. But I ask you, when you go home, to read this passage again and read it with a little bit of the background that I'm going to give you right now. This was the story of the man at the pool of Bethesda. The man was lame. He couldn't move. He was on a mat. And it was told that when the angel would come down, there was like a pool in the middle of this. There was colonnades there. It was very, very, people would come everywhere because they wanted to be healed. When the angel would trouble the waters, the first one in would get healed. So it was very popular and people wanted to get in. But what's the trouble with our man that we're talking about? He had been in the condition he had been in for 38 years. He was not able to move. So every time he would try to get into the pool, someone would beat him out. So here he stayed by the pool. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes. And how many of you know when Jesus comes, things change? Jesus comes, and he sees this man laying on the mat and other people getting ahead of him to go into the pool. And Jesus asks him a very interesting question in John 5, verse 6. It says, when Jesus saw him lying there, and knew that he had already been in that condition for a long time, he said to him, Jesus said to him, do you want to be made well?
What? I want to be made well? What am I doing picking daisies here? I'm on this mat day in and day out. I'm by this pool. I want to be made well. Jesus, why are you asking? Could you just picture what went through that man's mind? When I thought about it, I'd say, that's a very unusual question for Jesus to ask somebody waiting by a pool to go in and be healed. But you see, Jesus knows that there are things beneath the surface, more than just the healing we're looking for, more than just the breakthrough that we're asking for, that sometimes we have to go, Miss Gloria, down a path through the gates, down a path, down a road of honesty. We have to deal with the real issues. And that's what I believe Jesus was getting at. Could it be that this man had lost hope after so long that it was just a cozy little place for him? I love one saying. It said, maybe the man's heart as well as his legs had withered. Think about that. Maybe he just gave up hope. Maybe his heart had just withered and dried up and thinking, this nothing's going to change. Maybe he thought about the fact, if I were really healed, I'd have to get a job. Maybe if I were really healed, I couldn't beg anymore or come here in this place. He saw all his friends. Hey, Joe, did you get it? No, obviously you didn't get in, Joe. Me neither, but at least we're together, Joe. Maybe he felt like if he were healed, now it'd be a different life with responsibility and having to do the things that other people did. He might have thought he'd lose his livelihood. Maybe one day he had ventured out and he had got right to the edge of the pool. But then all of a sudden, somebody came running from the back and jumped in. And his heart was broken. And he was just devastated. Maybe the pain of that was lingering in his mind. C.S. Lewis said something very powerful. It says, getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward. Sometimes when we've been hurt, sometimes when we've been trying with all our might and we almost made it and we fail. The memory is so painful that as miserable as sitting on the mat by the pool and not getting in could be, we'd rather have that. That's our new security. At least I can control my mat. I can control my mat, Brother Angel. I can put it here one day and another day. So what if my world is only this mat? Do you know anybody like that? Sometimes life is so painful that we just want to stay in that one little spot. I don't know. Maybe, and you got to understand the culture of Jesus' day. When anybody was sick or anybody had an ailment or something bad happened, a fire or if a roof burned or if a house broke down, they thought it was like a curse. They thought it was because somebody had sinned. Remember, my husband and I were just talking about it. The blind man and was it the disciples or the Pharisees? The Pharisees? I think it was the disciples. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he's blind? You see, in that day, if you had any ailment, you were regarded as something being wrong with you. Maybe he thought, this is something generational. I'm paying for my sins. I'm unworthy to be healed. But I just think that Jesus tried to go beyond the layers of what he saw in front of him. The path to honesty is not easy. Can you imagine the man having to all of a sudden not deal with just his legs or his inability to walk, but dealing with all that might be underneath that was blocking him from getting his healing? Interestingly enough, too, the man didn't answer Jesus directly. In verse 7 in John 5, it says, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. And while I am making my way, someone else steps down ahead of me." Could that be a complaint? Could that be self-pity? I don't know. Could it be just feeling sorry for himself or blaming the other people who got ahead of him or blaming his parents who might have dropped him? I don't know. Could it be? I'm just posing these questions. I wasn't there. I don't know. But I know that Jesus, in order to ask that question, must have known something I don't know about this man. Dr. Phil, he had said to a group of people who weren't getting any better, he said to them, "You really don't want to get better, do you?" And I saw something that was unbelievable. David Gusick made this finding I guess he looked it up in history or something. But there in Prague, there was a convent of Franciscan nuns. And they made their convent above a place where the communists used to torture and they used to hurt prisoners. The nuns were above this. It was like a prison where the people were actually tortured. And these Franciscan nuns they were thinking of a different way that they could help fund their convent. And they started renting out cells for $33 a night. Now, this was back a while. Renting out cells where you could come and be a prisoner overnight. Because you know what? In some ways, some people feel so unworthy or so bound that they want to relate to a cell. And they got good business. Imagine that. But there was something. I imagine that it startled the man when Jesus asked that question. And I got to tell you that it's amazing when you spend time with the Lord and you spend time in his presence, that sometimes what you originally went in for, the prayer requests you went in for, the wisdom, the guidance, the frustration, all of a sudden in his presence, when you start to let the Holy Spirit go deeper, when you start to be honest with yourself and stop blaming everybody else and stop feeling sorry for yourself, you may start, and I may start, to see some things that need to change for my healing to occur. This is a hard word, but it's something that in the end we pray in Jesus' name will bring healing. I don't want to stay on my mat. Maybe it's my comfort zone. Maybe it's a place that I can control. Maybe it's a place I've become accustomed to, but it's a prison for me. If God wants to go deeper, and I won't let him. Jesus must have saw that the man really did want to be made well. And in John 5:8, he says to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." I thought, how amazing is that? Because sometimes when we pray, sometimes when we're asking God for a miracle or a healing here, we only have one way. The man only saw the pool as his answer. Do you see what I'm saying? The man only saw that if someone let him in the pool, he would be healed. He didn't see that Jesus had the power to come and speak the word and say, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." That's the trouble when we pray very narrowly and very selfishly. And we're praying right up here. God, you know, change my children. God, deliver me. God, do this. God, do that. And God says, I want you to be honest with yourself. I want you to come before me and let me heal those areas that keep you on your mat, that keep you bound, that keep you looking for one way to be healed and to be delivered. God has many ways. Don't limit him. You and I can't limit him. I did this for so many years. One day I'm gonna share another message with you that the Lord gave to me during our time of prayer in January about connecting the dots. Sometimes following dot by dot by dot is so boring, but then we don't realize how far God has taken us, and we don't realize that he's painting a different picture than we could have even imagined. There's nothing in your life, in my life, that God will waste. No hurt, no pain, no tear, no experience. God can use it in the most amazing ways if we let him. But if we're not going to be honest and we keep asking God to be at the surface, and even people. Now, believe me, I'm not purporting just going to everybody and airing your dirty laundry. Have you ever known anybody like that? They're way too. And I don't know if it's honest or they just like to talk. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about whatever it has to take. We can't keep hiding. We can't keep living on the surface when God wants us to walk through the gates of honesty, down the path of honesty. This is not our final destination. God's taking you somewhere. God's taking me somewhere. God is breaking through. But if we don't go down that path, we're limited. We're cut off. There's nowhere else to go. And so we stay in that cul-de-sac over and over and over and over and over and over. Oh, I could count the pebbles on that sidewalk, that cul-de-sac I've been in. When I'm not willing to be real. Do we want to be made whole? Do we want Jesus to set us free? Do we want to find a destiny? Do I want to be an evangelist for him? And you know, we may want to share Jesus with people. But one of the things they're teaching us in a class that I'm taking as preachers, we need to be authentic. And that's what I'm doing with you today. I want to tell you that in November, when I went to the hospital, many of you know about that, that my blood pressure went to over 200. I was so disappointed. I was supposed to go to Tennessee and speak at a retreat. That's all I could think of. Oh, and you know what? I want to tell you, this is the message I was preparing. This was prepared for that retreat. All I could say was, what? What happened to my life? Here I am in this hospital. But you know, I told my husband, God did such a work in me and taking me down a path of honesty. Hallelujah. That, first of all, I needed to get real with some physical things I was going through. Okay? I believe in faith, but I believe in wisdom. God uses many things to bring healing in our lives. God doesn't have one way. God may sovereignly, like my dad when he was 26, sovereignly reach down and heal a man who had terminal tuberculosis with 3 weeks to live. God healed my dad and gave him a brand new miracle. He became a pastor. God used him mightily. Sometimes God reaches down. I've seen people get up out of a wheelchair. Sometimes God does that. And sometimes God has other ways of healing us. As you know, the path we're going through with my grandson right now. Many paths, but we have to get real with what the issues are and let God speak to us and give us paths to take us down, not to just play around. So I was in, and first of all, I had to get real with some physical things I was going through. I needed to start some medication for now. I don't know if I'll be on it forever, but I had to start medication. Is that authentic enough for you? But an interesting thing happened. There were several things going on in my life at that point. And believe me, I want to qualify what I'm saying, because please don't take a part of it. Just understand what I'm saying. I was going through some things with some people in my life when normally I would have stuffed down the real answer of what I needed to say to them. Okay? So I can put on a face with the best of them. But the Lord said, you prepared this message. Are you going to do this? Are you going to be honest? So I didn't say, by the way, you offended me. By the way, you should have said that a better way. By the way, do you understand what I'm going through? I didn't do that. But I prayed and I said, God, if this is your will, I think in one case I might have started it with a text. There were other things, but it was a path of honesty. And you know, the person knew I loved them and they knew that I had my part that was wrong in it. And you know what? They responded so beautifully. Sometimes people don't, but it was healing for me because I was carrying that. And I want to say this. We never, ever hear if Joseph's wife apologized for betraying him. We never hear that. Potiphar's wife, right. Joseph's nemesis. Potiphar's wife. We never, ever hear if Potiphar's wife apologized. She betrayed him. But even the path of honesty that Joseph went through, to go through prison, to go through humility, to go through all these things, God really, really honored him, and he was preparing him. The people who've hurt you, the people who betrayed you, the people who've said things about you that aren't true, if you, are honest with them, and, you know, they may not receive it. And sometimes the Lord will say, just forgive and let go. But the thing is, you have to walk through that path like me. Another thing. All this happened in a couple of days. Not really. It was a lifetime. But what happened was, is I just saw, my mother was just such a beautiful woman of God. I really wish you could have met her. She was her name was Grace, by the way. And she was full of grace. She was a velvet brick, I tell you, strong inside, but very soft on the outside covering. And I saw my mom, who was a beautiful minister's wife and actually a licensed minister. I saw her, I remembered, like the Lord brought back literally a picture in my mind of something that had hurt her very deeply in ministry. She loved the ministry. She gave her life to it. That's all she really wanted in life was the to help my dad and serve the Lord. But I saw a picture of her of something that really, really hurt her. And I saw her like this. And I remember as a little girl feeling so hurt for her. I felt so helpless. I felt so unable to really help her with her needs. Maybe we could just ask if the back doors could be closed for now, or I don't know. Whatever. I don't want to. I just want to make sure we're getting the point of this. I saw a picture with her head in her hands, very hurt. And you know what? The Lord just spoke to my heart, and he said, you're still hurting from what hurt your mom. I couldn't really understand why sometimes there was a button on my head, something in the ministry that always hurt me. I love what I do. I would do this for nothing. I would do this. I love being a pastor. But there was one button that the enemy just seemed to push and push and push and push. And I never understood it till I saw that picture of my mom in it with her hands like this, like broken. It hurt me. It offended me. And I actually was living that out. What is it in your life? Is it something you've gone through? Is it something that you feel, even though you're not happy, even though you've come to an impasse? You know, you know that you could at least control the place that you're at. That mat has become your security. That small boundary. That you know, looking at life. It's like, it's just too risky, Lord, to go down that path. I can't deal with it. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, we don't even want to deal with it ourselves. We need to ask the Holy Spirit. And if it's counseling, we need godly counseling. If it's, you know, spending more time in prayer, it's definitely being with brothers and sisters. It's definitely reading your Bible. It's definitely having friends that can be a confidant. But please, don't stay in that cul-de-sac. Don't stay on that mat. Jesus knows there's more than just the surface. We can be authentic with him. And with people who really love us, we could be authentic. You know, the guy who only loves the girl when she's up and you know, and feeling great with makeup and stuff, that's not real love. That's conditional love. Real, authentic love. Real, authentic love. It's what the world is crying for. And it says in James, you know, that we have to be careful then when the Holy Spirit comes. Listen, those times of devotion, those times of meditation, even these times on a Sunday morning when the Holy Spirit starts moving the waters, yeah? That we just are not like the man in James who looked at his face in a mirror and saw the smudge, but then said, oh, I'm good. Holy Spirit, help us. Holy Spirit, take us gracefully and kindly and in blessing down the road of honesty, down the path of honesty. There was an interesting, and I'm so ahead of the time today. I mean, I'm really, like, I'm amazing. God has put this in a capsule for you. Because I asked the Holy Spirit to only let me speak today what the Holy Spirit is speaking to your hearts and my heart. But, you know, Gideon in Judges, he was called out to be a warrior. And, you know, God has a sense of humor. Remember about Gideon? He was hiding in the winepress because the enemies were so, so devastating. And he was doing something that didn't make sense at all. He was threshing wheat in a winepress. It's covered. And you can't really thresh wheat in a wine press because you need the wind. But he was so frightened. And the angel comes and says, mighty warrior. What is God saying to you in your finest moments, in those moments when you're in his presence? And I'm not talking about pipe dreams. I'm not talking about just, you know, things that, oh, you know, that would be good. I want to do this. What is God saying to us in our finest moments that our destiny is? How he wants to use us? How he wants to bless us? Is there something he wants to do through your life? But you're in a cul-de-sac and I am because we're not being real. Gideon, God said, mighty warrior. But there was something about it. He had to clean up his father's idols. Read it in Judges, I believe it's 6. He had to clean up his father's idols, the idols of Baal, I believe it was. He had to pull them down. When we go down the path of honesty and we pull down those idols that want to exalt themselves or come in between us or even generational things, listen to this. You are not just doing it for you. You're doing it for your posterity. I'm doing it for my posterity. Here's a quote from that devotional. It says, things like anger, addiction, abuse, and affairs may be part of your family history, but they don't have to be part of your future. The generational garbage can stop here and now. You don't have to give your kids what your ancestors gave you. Bring it out into the open and lay it before the Lord. Now listen to this powerful quote. Revealing leads to healing. Revealing leads to healing. So rise up in faith. Take control of your life and declare, it ends with me. It ends here and now. Say it with me. It ends with me. It ends here and now. And the converse of that, the opposite. It starts with me. The power of the living God. It starts getting over my hurts, my fears, my addictions, my strongholds in my life. It starts with me and will spill over to my ancestry. But we don't have to carry it because it was dealt through our ancestors. We do not have to carry that. Revealing leads to healing. But if Satan makes us ashamed, if Satan makes us hide, if Satan makes us stay on that mat, if Satan makes us in that cul-de-sac, there's nowhere we can go. And you and I, let your heart cry. Because honestly, I didn't know those things. I had thought about things about my mom and how sometimes she got hurt. But that moment was a path of honesty for me. I had prepared that message for someone else. But God was taking me down that path. Girl, the devil always pushes that button because you see that picture of mommy. She was a woman of God because you know what? She would get over it and go on. But for some reason, Satan was using it in my mind to be a stronghold, to hurt me, to keep me bound so that I couldn't be free. I could be secure and not insecure. Satan has a way of doing that, of twisting the truth, of twisting the memories to make you feel bound, make you feel like, you know what? Maybe it's only a mat, but at least I know my territory. At least I know Joe over there is also waiting. Maybe I know other people who are just waiting, and it's never going to happen for me. I give up. I give up. In the name of Jesus, we break that today. In the name of Jesus. And I tell you, I just turned 67. And let me tell you something. God still has me on a path of honesty. I don't want to. I don't want to be held back. And I'm saying to you, it is not easy. It takes courage. It takes the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes I want to go back to my mat. Sometimes I want to go back to the last start. But where is there to go but to my Lord Jesus? Lord, he can do more. Look at the disciple. Look at what they were. Peter always had his foot in his mouth. Peter was always trying to tell Jesus what to do till that day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. He turned into a mighty warrior. He turned into a courageous man. He turned into a selfless man and understood the things of God. Jesus has many ways of meeting you. The man didn't get, it's like Jesus could have said, oh, I'll pick you up. I'll stand at the edge of the pool and I'll tell the others, stand back. And the Lord said, no, do not limit the Holy One of Israel. Do not limit the Holy One of Israel. God can deliver, but do you want to be made whole? Do I want to be made whole? Or do I latch on to my security? I told Pastor and Pastor, please come up and Angel, you could start playing. I'm not even sure how we should end this. I don't necessarily want you to come up here. I'd rather almost take a few minutes to just think about this. Because I believe the Lord really wants to speak to us. I believe that, I'm saying this prophetically, that you are a person of God, but you're content and almost believing like, I'm never going to change. I can never break out of this. You know, I'm okay. I could eat. I have a comfortable place. And, you know, I have some influence. Angel, come on up. Please. Please, Angel. But I'm content. But I really do know there's more out there. There really is more. There really is more. God doesn't know any limitations. The stories we all love. I love, my husband and I love true stories. We just watched the other night the story of Josh McDowell. Evidence that demands a verdict, a brilliant mind of a man who was brought up in an abusive, sexually abused, abusive home, was filled with hate, literally wanted to murder his father. how God got a hold of his heart. He's become a foremost authority in the world. He tried to disprove Jesus. But instead, he has written a book that's gone around the world because he couldn't disprove. You cannot disprove my Jesus. What is waiting in you? What promise? What potential? What deliverance? What more does the Lord have for you? Come on up, hon. That he wants you to have. Please. Let us all, as a church, walk down that road of honesty. Yes, Lord, I don't like this road. I admit to you, it's one of my belt parkways. But God, I'm so glad I'm going to go where I'm going. I'm so glad I'm going to meet my friends or see my family. Or what is it that's promised you if you have the courage to walk down that road of honesty?
Amen. Can you say praise God this morning? Thank you, Pastor Angel. Thank you for pouring out your heart. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? That question still resounds after 2,000 years. It's such a powerful, penetrating question. Look into the face of Jesus, and you hear him saying again, I can make you well. But do you want to be honest? I want you to think about the fact that that path of honesty may not be comfortable, but it leads to a great victory. It leads to deliverance. It leads to freedom. Are you with me this morning? Are you with this message? I want you to stand together. Worship team, come on up for a second. Worship team, I want us to sing this chorus. You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear. Some of you need to get free today. I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking to hearts this morning. And here's what the Lord, I believe, is trying to take from this message and bring it home to you and say to you this morning that you may not have realized that there's a different way that I have chosen. I have a different path, a different plan that leads to the right destination. But you've been stuck and you've been in the rut of thinking that it can only be one way. Just like when Jesus said to that man, do you want to get well? He says, well, nobody helps me and there's somebody who always gets ahead of me. That was his only path. It was a worn out path. It was a path that he was used to for 38 years. But the Lord is saying to you this morning, I have a new way. I have a new way. Hallelujah. I have a new way. I have a new way. I have a new way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man can come unto the Father except through me. Hallelujah. Let's say this prayer. Pastor Angela, come on this platform with me. Let's say this prayer. Bow your heads for a moment. Lord God, today I see that you have many ways to bring me to my destination. Say it with me. God, I believe you have many ways. You're not limited by the way I think or what I see. You are infinitely wise. You are all powerful. You love me more than I realize. And you are for me today. You're not against me. Today I say no to the devil. You will not control my thinking. You will not keep me in this rut. You will not keep me bound to the past. It ends today. I'm getting up and I'm taking the path of honesty. I'm going to follow Jesus to my destination from this day forward. Would you rejoice now? Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Rejoice. 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 Hallelujah.